Today is the 20th of May, 2015. Join us for the midweek service of the Weatherby House Church. Tonight we only have two people with us because Rosette has been very sick today. We appreciate anyone that hears this to remember Rosette in prayer. God would touch her. First selection that we were going to sing is 427 out of the old school hymnal. Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my life in vain. I'm tempted then to murmur and of my lot complain. But when I think of Jesus and all he's done for me, then I cry, O rock of ages, hide thou me. O rock of ages, hide thou me. No other refuge have I but thee. When life's dark veil I wander far, far from thee, then I cry, O rock of ages, hide thou me. Sometimes it seems I dare not go one step farther on, and from my heart all courage has disappeared and gone. But I remember Jesus and all his love for me, and I cry, O rock of ages, hide thou me. Oh, what a friend is Jesus, sure anchor for my soul. So tender, true, and gracious, I'm safe in his control. My help in time of danger, my strong defense is he. Oh, thou blessed rock of ages, hide thou me. O rock of ages, hide thou me. No other refuge have I but thee. When life's dark veil I wander far, far from thee, then I cry, O rock of ages, hide thou me.
Page 362, the hymn holds on to me.
362.
Yeah. I'm old
school. Earth holds no treasure but perish with using, however precious they be. Yet there's a country to which I am going. Heaven holds all to me. Heaven holds all to me. Brighter its glory will be, joy without measure will be my treasure. Heaven holds all to me. Out on the hill of that wonderful country, happy, contented, and free, loved ones are waiting and watching my coming. Heaven holds all to me. Why should I long for the world and its sorrows, when in that home o'er the sea, millions are singing the wonderful story. Heaven holds all to me. Heaven holds all to me. Brighter glory will be. Joy without measure will be my treasure. Heaven holds all to me. Dear Lord, we pray you would be with us in this service tonight. I pray that you would lead and guide us in your word. We can guide and direct our thoughts, we pray. Grant unto us your continued grace. We ask in Christ's name for your glory. Amen. Have you ever thought about the reality of your life and what it means? A lot of people go through their whole life and it seems like they don't even really think about what's going on and why they're doing what they're doing and how they spend their time and their priorities. Seems like they just kind of just float through life. Our lives either are purposeless or they're purposeful. And the purpose that we get for our life doesn't come from our own selfishness. It doesn't come from anything other than God granting us His grace. And one of the things that we have seen in the Bible is that there is an emphasis as it relates to our salvation on God's grace. We cannot overemphasize God's grace. We cannot overemphasize God's mercy. We cannot overemphasize God's love. The law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, but it's grace that sustains us each and every day of our lives. Without the grace of God, we would be, of all men, most miserable. And so, we need to focus more and more of our lives on grace. Grace is mentioned 160 times in the Bible in 6 pages. Starting with Genesis, it says, 6th chapter, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Notice that Noah realized that he had been given the unmerited favor of God. We see in Genesis 19, it says, Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me, saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. How many times did the Old Testament saints pray, if I have found grace in thy sight? Realizing that we have to have the grace of God each and every day in our lives, or we would falter and fail. And when we do falter and fail, it's when God, in a small way, restrains His grace. And I believe the reason He does it is that He wants to show us how much we are needful of His grace, how much we need it. In the 84th Psalm, the 11th verse says, Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips, therefore God hath blessed thee forever. In the 84th Psalm, the 11th verse says, For the Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Like we said, that God's grace is unmerited favor. We don't deserve it. We deserve damnation. And but God granted unto us his grace. And John 1:14 says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God is full of grace and truth. He's not absent of any grace. He's full of it. Full of it. John 1:16 says, and of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. John 1:17 says, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. What an unfathomable gift we've been given, the grace of Jesus Christ. Nothing in our hands we bring, only to the completed work of Christ we cling. In Acts 4:33 it says, great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. The New Testament saints gloried in the grace of God. They gloried in the grace of God. We can spend all of our time looking around us at how deplorable our world is becoming and how immoral and debauched it is. But we must also remember that we have to look up, because our redemption is drawing near. And Acts 11:23 it says, who when he came had seen the grace of God, was glad, exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Many times the apostles and those that followed exhorted those to continue in the grace of God. Their focus should be on the unmerited favor of Christ. 13th chapter of Acts, 43rd verses. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. That should be our exhortation, to continue in the grace of God. Acts 15:11, we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. And so we see that faith and belief cannot happen until grace happens in the heart of a person. Acts 18:27, it says, and when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come helped them much which had believed through grace. Acts 20:24, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That should be our main thrust. When we proclaim God's word, we should be proclaiming God's grace to his people. Acts 20:32, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. He said in Romans 1:7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 5, 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Well, the scriptures are full of these mighty, mighty instructions of the grace of God. How many times have we talked about God's grace? Not enough. We can talk about false prophets, we can talk about false teachings, we can talk about all of these other things, but we often forget that in Romans 5:20 it says the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace, grace, marvelous grace. He says in Romans 11:5, even so then at this present time also there's a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace then is no more works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works then is no more grace, otherwise work is no more work. Romans 16:20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Many times Paul, in his concluding remarks, will say that. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Oftentimes he'll begin his remarks with grace. 1 Corinthians 1:3, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Well, First 2 Corinthians 1:2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice he always lets us know where grace comes from, where it comes from. He says in 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. 2 Corinthians 9:8, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. God's grace is sufficient to meet all of our needs. Even in the midst of persecution and suffering, rejection, and every other kind of thing. 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Galatians 1:3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'm glad that we have been given the gift of God's grace. Ephesians 2:5, it says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Well, Ephesians 4:7, it says, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. It has nothing to do with man. It's all proceeding from Jesus Christ and coming to us. I'm glad for God's grace. I'm glad that He is faithful in bestowing His continued grace upon His people. And when we feel like we're in dire need of grace, all we have to do is go to Him and pray for more grace. And He will be faithful to honor our requests. You know, it says in 1 Timothy 1:14, unto Timothy, my own son, in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Timothy 1:14, the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. So we need to pray that God would grant unto us His grace with exceeding abundant faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Titus 3:7 says that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Being justified by what? Not by our works. Being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Well, James 4:6, it says, He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So, we cannot overemphasize God's grace in our lives. And we should be thankful for it every day. And He says in 1 Peter 5:10, the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. We are not called as Christians not to suffer, but we are called as Christians to suffer. But in the midst of our suffering, we must realize it's the God of all grace who's called us. It's the God of all grace who has called us. 2 Peter 1:2 says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. We're also told to grow in grace. 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever, amen. How do we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Well, we grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ through studying His Word and through prayer. It's interesting because if we look in Revelation 22:21, it ends there by saying, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Revelation 22:21. It ends by saying, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So tonight, we have talked about God's grace from Genesis all the way through Revelation. And that is exactly what the love of God is expressed to his people from Genesis through Revelation. So let us never forget that we are a special and peculiar people, not because we have any merits to bring to God. God has all the merits of his own completed work on the cross to bring to us. Let us conclude with this 3:11, joy unspeakable. Joy unspeakable. I have found his grace is all complete. He supplieth every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free as free indeed. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. I have found the pleasure I once craved. It is joy and peace within. What a wondrous blessing I am saved from the awful gulf of sin. I have found that hope so bright and clear, living in the realm of grace. Oh, the Savior's presence is so real, I can see his smiling face. I have found the joy no tongue can tell, as waves of glory roll. Oh, it's like a great o'erflowing well, springing up within my soul. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told.
Dear Lord, we're thankful for your sovereign grace and mercy in our lives and pray, amen.
Father, we pray that you would help us to always make the focus of our lives your wonderful grace. We pray in your name, amen.